One day, Andrew Womack received a letter from a woman who had heard his teaching on the radio. The reason why she heard it on the radio is because, well, let me read the letter. "Dear Andrew, I've been on death row for murder since committing this crime. I've been born again and spirit-filled. I live in solitary confinement without anyone to talk to. They slip me my food under the door, and I never leave my cell. I've spent years asking God to kill me, saying, please, just let me die and go home. All my life, I've been nothing but a problem. I disgraced my family and ruined my marriage. My own kids are ashamed and refuse to see me. Not only that, but I killed someone and hurt their family. Even though I'm born again now and love God, I'm just a drain on the taxpayers. For so long, it seemed to me that it'd be better if this leech were dead and gone. Who could I witness to? There's no guard or any other prisoners here. I simply have no purpose. Then I heard your teaching on the radio. For the first time in my life, I understand that I am born again because God loves me. I can really bless and minister to Him by saying, Father, I love you. Now I have a purpose for living. For the first time in my life, I'm free. I am more free in this jail cell than I ever thought I could be. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, before sin entered in, they met with God every day, fellowshipped, worshiped. They did not need to pray for food or for clothes or for a broken heart or a heating bill or a medical issue. If they were hungry, they could just stop anywhere and reach to a tree or a bush and grab a snack. The climate was perfect without clothing, no mosquitoes that would bite. There was no death, no disease, no divorce, no drugs, no natural disasters, no wild animals. There were animals, none of them were wild. So, what would they pray about? They simply communicated back and forth with their Creator. They didn't have any needs. They shared with each other, them and God, the things that seemed valuable and interesting. That was the sole purpose of their existence. The will of God and the purpose for creating people was to interact with God. Now, I'm about to say something that some people might take as heresy. Some Christians have said that the absolute most important thing in life is to get unbelievers saved. Get them born again. That's the number one thing. It is not. Heresy. Because a lot of people invested their lives in that. Some throw themselves into the busyness of ministry or missions and they miss Jesus entirely. But they're busy doing the winning the lost. Some people show up to church and miss Jesus. Some people go to Bible schools and miss Jesus. Several places in the Bible, like Matthew 22, 37, it says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is the first deal with God, the very first will of God. And second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's where reaching the lost comes in, or blessing your family or anything like that. If you have not ministered unto God, you've missed your top priority. Well, my kids are everything. Well, then you've got it wrong. Oh, my, I just love my spouse. They're just the best. Then you've got it wrong. God is above them. Well, my ministry is the most important thing. I'm the pastor of a church. Well, then you've got it wrong. Pastoring is fourth level. After me and God, that's not the same as ministry. My relationship with God is not ministry to people. I minister unto Him, Him and me. Next comes Shelley, your second to God. That's okay, right? Third is kids or grandkids. And after those, everything there is met, then extended people within the church or the community, it's fourth level. And if I ever get them out of order, I will lose what's above them. If I ever put my kids above my wife, I'm going to lose my marriage. If I ever put my wife above God, I'll lose my relationship with God. If I ever put my ministry above my family, the most important thing is our ministry, I'll lose my whole family. I got to keep it in order. God first. If you've got a spouse, second. If you got a kid, third. If you don't have a spouse or a kid, it's God first and then everybody else second. And that's the way it was supposed to be. That's why in the Garden of Eden, their purpose wasn't so to run around and get their needs met. Their purpose was to hang out with God, have a relationship with God. So Jesus said, love God. That's number one. And then anything dealing with people comes after that. So that's why some people, they have this ministry that everybody can look at and even tabulate and count the numbers and see what they're doing, but they don't even pray during the day or read their Bible. They're just busy doing the stuff. There's a ministry unto God. Jesus spent time alone with God the Father on the mountain, didn't he? I mean, he'd send the disciples on ahead somewhere. I'll catch up with you. 40 days of temptation by himself. Garden of Gethsemane, praying alone. He did a lot of alone time. And even after the 40 days, angels showed up. Not only was he not alone, God was there, but the angels are showing up. By the way, your angels are showing up too. And God is there. The Apostle Paul was in prison for a couple of years in isolation. In fact, one of the times that he was in prison, he was in the lowest level called the sewer, standing in raw sewage. Most people died from suffocation in the first 3 days from the fumes, which are deadly. The miracle was that he survived up to 2 years in that area that would kill other people. But because he was a Roman citizen, he was chained in darkness in raw sewage. Because he was a Roman citizen, one day a month they would allow them out to write a letter. Some people thought that when they let him out, he had probably had a hard time seeing after a month in the dark. Don't know. Do you think that he had communication with God during that time? He wrote some of the letters during his time in prison that we call Scripture. We call from God, Bible, and he was isolated and alone and yet produced some of the things that we base our faith on today. I believe that Paul interacted with God continually. If you ever wondered about whether God is with you or not, well, I can't feel God. I don't know whether God. Go out away from everyone else where you're surrounded either by trees or flowers or water, and stop and sit. Guys, you can take a fishing pole. Ladies, take a granola bar. The issue is that when you get away from everything else and you stop and just sit there, stare at the water or the flowers or the trees, God reveals himself. And then you realize, I'm not alone. Wives, let your husbands go fishing or hunting or hiking or whatever they want to do. They'll come back changed. Don't try to control their life about getting out and away and to say, well, you can't do that. You're spending too much money, or I don't want you doing that. You'll have a better husband if they can get away and then come back, because they will get away alone, show up, meet with God, and come back a different person. I just dealing with somebody just recently about their marriage, and they're trying to control the person getting away. And I'm thinking, oh, don't you understand that if he can get away, he'll come back different and he'll come back better. So be careful about that. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never, 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 never. Last week, a study came out that said that the smartest people in the world talk to themselves a lot. And you go, oh, wow, I'm probably pretty smart. No, well, I disagreed with that study. I think the smartest people in the world talk to God. Because all these people with these degrees that are talking to themselves and have never spoken to God, how smart is that? 1 Corinthians 1:18-24 says this, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Do you think that geniuses are frustrated? Yeah, most of them, they function only with various personality disorders, and they just try to make it through. They're obsessive, they're compulsive, they're impulsive. They don't know what to do because they only have themselves to talk to. Where is the wise person, Corinthians says? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the teacher? We were in Lake Geneva with some friends this week. I saw, you know, these cute signs. This one said, I'm a teacher. What's your superpower? I thought that was clever. Wrong, but clever. Where is the philosopher of this age? Oh, by the way, a spirit-filled teacher, there's the power. Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. In other words, he's saying, how smart is that? God is everything and you don't know him? God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs or wonders or miracles, and Greeks look for wisdom or their own head knowledge, but we preach Christ crucified. It doesn't make sense to them. A stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, we're in that group, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Romans 1:20-22 says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, the world, the universe, everything like that, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, in other words, they are probably pretty sure that, yeah, this thing just didn't happen by itself. Though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. You want to live with a darkened heart? That's what people do without God. If you were the only survivor on a deserted island, you would still not be alone. Remember Tom Hanks? At least he had Wilson. You know? Yeah, something was very wrong with 4 years talking to Wilson. You know, 4 years on that deserted island in that movie, if he'd gone to prayer, dropped to his knees on the beach, I think he'd been off of there in less than 4 years, you know, because Wilson just couldn't make it happen, okay? If you were in solitary confinement like that lady's letter, not only would you talk back and forth with God, but angels would be in the cell with you or on a deserted island with you. Or if you feel isolated in your home or your workplace or wherever you are, your ministry wouldn't be over as long as you had the ability to pray. If you were in isolation, that lady that doesn't even have contact with a guard or another prisoner, communicating with God, praying in the Spirit, praying for other people, would be opening doors to God to access other people's lives. And when she'd get to heaven, there'd be this tremendous ministry, and she didn't go anywhere. And she could see the results of her prayers as they opened up legal spiritual avenues into the world. And she'd walk into heaven. They thought, well, you probably don't have much reward, do you? Because, like, you spent all your life in solitary confinement and for that life sentence, and all of a sudden this huge treasure's there. They go, how'd you get that? Said, well, I talked with God, and I prayed in the Spirit, and things got done. And here we are, not in solitary confinement, and we have the same God, access to him, and the same access to prayer. If you could only see what happens in the spirit realm when you pray, you would pray all the time. You'd grab other people and say, we got to pray. And if you could show them what happens, how angels respond to your words spoken, not that you command angels, but God will command them according to your words. If you could see the activity and the movement that occurs as soon as you pray, rather than sitting around waiting going, well, I wonder if anything happened or not. I don't see anything happen. Do you see anything happen? If you could see into the spirit realm and see as soon as you said those words by faith, at God's command, the answer's on the way. But sometimes people, other people you're praying for, they can interfere with some of these answers to your prayer. Why won't God just make them? Because he's not making you. Because he won't force you either. And so if you could see, you'd be praying all the time. You could pray to the Father. You could also talk to Jesus. You can talk to the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is not jealous of each other. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're not jealous. They know everything that the other one knows. You don't have to say, oh, Holy Spirit, could you tell Jesus something for me? He'd say, don't worry about it. He's got that covered. Holy Spirit would say, I'm God. The Father's God. Jesus is God. God knows everything. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, the Spirit who searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows the person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. You're supposed to understand. You're supposed to hear from God. You're supposed to understand when you hear from God. My sheep hear my voice. You're supposed to understand. This is not something that's over your head, some deep mystery, great revelation that you haven't achieved yet. It's supposed to be so simple. Many are familiar with the classic novel Robinson Crusoe. I think that everyone should read Robinson Crusoe, not go see the movie, not go see the half a dozen movies, because the movies made it out to be a guy that was shipwrecked on an island and was all alone. And eventually there was this sacrificial execution coming up, and he found where these natives came from another island, and he whisks away this one native and tries to communicate with him. Remember his man Friday? And so they made it about a man shipwrecked in an isolation. By the way, this was written 300 years ago by Daniel Defoe, and eventually he published it the year 1719. It's not about a man shipwrecked on an island. That's what happens to the man. It's about a man who, the entire book, it tries to process, what is going on, God? Did you cause this? Did I cause this? Are you going to make it better? Do I make it better? Are you good and bad? The whole book, not the movie. I wish they would do the movie according to the book, because Hollywood wouldn't make that movie either. It's all about a man seeking answers from God and trying to resolve the things that have happened, how they're connected to God or not, and whether he should still stay connected or disconnect from God. What a struggle. And we made it about a guy trying to rub sticks together and make fire and find something to eat, not get bit by a goat. You know, we made it, Hollywood made it out to be nothing close to what it was. So if you're in a used bookstore or something like that, see Robinson Crusoe, read the book and find out about that struggle with God. It's all about when you feel isolated, what do you do? Do you blame God? Do you welcome God? Do you question God? What do you do? You're talking with God, the Father. Did you know some Christians, they would rather be around people? Well, I'd rather just communicate with people, and, you know, that's my ministry. That's what I do with people. God is a person. He's not a people. He's a person. Jesus Christ is a resurrected human being body, but God the Father is a Father person. God the Son is a Son person. God the Holy Spirit is a Spirit person. Even Kenneth Copeland was confused. He said, I can't just wrap my head around how the Holy Spirit could be a person. And God gave him a vision. He saw the Father seated at a table with the Son, Jesus Christ, seated at a table, talking with each other. And then he saw the Holy Spirit walk up, put his hands down on the table, and lean over to talk to the Father and the Son. And Kenneth Copeland thought, he's a person. He walked right up to God the Father and the Son, and they're all three talking with each other. They say, well, I don't know if I can deal with God. I'd rather deal with people. God is. You're a person because God's a person. You are made in the image of God. You've got intellect. You have emotions. You have a will. You have a form. That came from God. God has form, emotions, intellect, a will, a purpose, a character. We're people because God is a person and gave us the ability. That's why the angels were shocked when he made people. They thought they were pretty high up on the order. They thought, yeah, we're top here. And then people came along and they go, they're just like God. Some people think, well, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and be an angel. That would be a demotion. A demotion. We're made higher than the angels. And at one point it said Jesus was lower than the angels. No, that word isn't angelos. That word's Elohim. That's a name of God. That for a while he took a step down, but the word angels isn't even there. You're never alone, ever alone. If you wound up in solitary confinement or on a deserted island, your top number one priority, purpose, and will never disappeared. The number one thing you do is minister unto God and then pray. Pray, praise, and all that, and you will accomplish that. Now, if you realize, well, I'm not on a deserted island and I'm not in jail in solitary confinement, I'm just here, it's the same deal. Get to know God. He's trying to get to know you. The God of the entire universe, eternity past, eternity forward, wants to be in an enjoyable relationship with us. And we're going, oh, let me see. Let me think about this. What? He wants to be around us. Well, what is he like? What are you like? He's a person, and we're a person, and we've got to get to know this creator of ours that made us so that we could function correctly. You're talking with God, the person. Well, that sounds like it's making him lower. He made persons higher. Those in Christ are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You can't get higher than seated with Christ without going higher than God, the Father. You're maxed out. The highest you can go, that's the highest level. He has lifted you. So you're not bringing God down if you're talking to him as a person. He has elevated us up as high as you can go. And he's asking us to have this relationship with him. So don't complain about, well, I feel so isolated at home, or I'm just by myself at the factory. You're not alone, and your number one purpose needs to be, okay, God, you and me, let's talk, let's look, let's have fun, let's enjoy this deal, let's get things done, we'll work together. God does the heavy lifting, you understand? He supplies the power, right? And the love, and the faith, and the gifting, and the calling, and the grace. Our job is the ministry of showing up and participating with that. wanting that. Praise God. Praise God. In the last couple weeks, I've learned things from God that I'm thinking, why didn't I know this? Next month I turn 65, the Medicare year, you know? You think, why didn't I know this 65 years ago? Why didn't I know this stuff from the beginning? But in the last couple weeks, I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what else I don't know. But it has made my life at another level. I've been freed from some stuff that hung on to me for years. It just left. It just melted off. It's just not there anymore. And I'm liking it a lot better. I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying Shelley. I'm enjoying stuff. Instead of just trying to work through all this stuff. Praise God. Praise God. I don't have an ending to this thing, so I'm going to just pray for the food. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the food we'll participate in, the fellowship of each other and with you. Lord, may this food be used in our bodies to declare your wonders. We love you for it. We love you for everything you're doing. You're so wonderful. We praise you forevermore. Help us get this right. May the revelation of this morning's message be secured, a grace deposit on the inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.